just brought to you courtesy of entertainment. This morning, you'll have to give something to this service in order to get something out of it. Understand what I'm saying? It's coming packaged in print so that you can take it home and chew on it. All right? There will be things that we will say and things that we will commit to in this service that if you read them for the depth of what they really are, you will choke. It will be that challenging, that demanding of your own commitment to God. Right? But don't back off, because covenants were made this way. They were made to be beyond something that we could fulfill in ourselves, but rather we have to have the help of God to live into these kind of commitments and these kinds of words. This is called the Wesleyan Covenant Service. It's over 200 years old, and we've edited it here and there to make it our own, right? But for over 200 years, when Methodism was a movement setting the world on fire, every year at New Year's Eve or the first Sunday thereafter, the Methodists and their societies would gather together with one another, and they would walk through the Wesleyan Covenant Service, rededicating themselves to the God that had dedicated himself to them. And there was something about this commitment that fueled an incredible, powerful witness in their day. Historians will tell you that England avoided the same turmoil that France did with, what was the name of that great uprising? England avoided it because of the Wesleyan societies in England. There was not this great difference as there was in France between the have-nots and the elites. And they credited the weaving together of society to avoid that revolution in England to the Methodist societies, where the least pauper could become a leader and where the greatest of the elite became servants. People met in the middle, and it became the fabric that held that society together. It made that kind of difference in their country in that day. And I don't want us to rediscover that kind of power. The darkness of our present world almost demands it, right? So I just want to give you some forewarning. This is going to be very different. Covenants are fantastic stuff. You'll go to the next slide. You've seen people renew covenants before. Now, covenants are important to us. I don't know of any personal celebration that we pour more money into than a wedding. Any fathers in the house can say amen to that? Tens of thousands of dollars these days are spent on weddings. But what's more impressive to me than a young couple and all of their idealism standing in front and giving their pledges to one another are services like these, where a husband and wife who've been at it for 20 years stand and again pledge themselves to one another in a holy covenant. Here's a covenant. A covenant is a sacred oath before God between two parties, right? In this case, a husband and wife. They do it before their God, in the sight of their God, but they also do it in the name of their God. What's the difference? To do it in the sight of the God means that you are accountable to him. To do it in the name of the God, name of your God, means that you count on God to give you the power to keep those words. So it is with this covenant service this morning. If you read this and you think you're going to do this in your own strength, you'll choke on it several times. You don't swallow beef jerky whole. But they're not only sacred, they're also empowered. Next slide. In the history of Israel, they renewed the covenant several times. Remember when they were going back into the promised land? Moses gathered the people and they recovenanted together to God before they entered the promised land. Josiah, one of the greatest revivals in all of the Old Testament, happened because the king rediscovered the law of Moses that had been lost in the lost in the temple. Lost to the people. And they rediscovered it in the temple, and the king heard it, and when he heard it, he was so disturbed by what he heard So neglected was the word of God and his covenant with his people that the king rent his robes in repentance and then went out before all the people that were gathered in Jerusalem. And then all the people heard the law of Moses read from beginning to end, from the morning to the night. And at that night, all the people, it says, from the smallest to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest, re-covenanted and renewed their covenant with God. This is a practice that's been done amongst our people through many, many years, and we'll do it again this morning. The old covenant of Moses, the new covenant with Jesus and his grace. We make commitments like that. We do it every Sunday. Every Sunday when we take communion, we re-up in this new covenant that we have with Jesus. Every Sunday when we take communion, we do it. But I want us to do it today with a special, deeper look into all that it means. In Scripture, Israel renewed their covenant many, many times. I'm trying to get through this quickly, not having much luck with it. King Josiah repented personally, and then corporately, the whole people repented. And folks, when Methodism was at its greatest, it was a covenant service that happened the first Sunday of every year that often was the foundation for that year's stretch and commitment to be more faithful to God. I want us to have that kind of foundation. And so this service, though it'll be very different, you'll have in your bulletin this morning the printed service. It's printed for a reason, so you can follow it along, so you can underline the words that stretch you, so you can go back later and chew on it like beef jerky. You with me? And we're going to get started in just a minute. And once we launch into it, have your seatbelt on and be ready to go deeper. Because this won't be just another Sunday if you chew on this. Let's let Jeff get the announcements out of the way, and then we'll start this journey together. Amen? Amen. Thanks, Jeff.
Welcome. It's wonderful to see you all here today for a happy new year. All of you are getting younger every year. We are babies in the Lord, and we're just going to be fresh-faced and glowing today as we recommit our lives to the Lord. If you're visiting with us today, it's your first time, and you wonder what we believe, you're going to find out today because it's the bedrock of our faith. Today, obviously, we're going to be chewing on some jerky, and I look forward to us all participating from our hearts as we dedicate our lives to the year coming up to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to have our Emerge Global Single Moms Ministry, Emerge. It's going to be at 5 p.m. with a family meal. Also, we have our Blitz Youth, and the kids from the Emerge can also join with that. It's a wonderful opportunity to minister to those children as well. 5 o'clock dinner, worship and service at 6 p.m. Also coming up this week, we have our Seasons of Change Grief Share class, Tuesdays, 10 a.m. in the Refuge Room. Our Young at Heart ministry is this Thursday, January 11th, going to the Sherwin Miller Jewish Museum. Now, in your bulletin, it says to meet here at 10 o'clock, but that's been a little change. Come at 10:30. That will be better. The restaurant doesn't open until 11, and so you can sleep in an extra half an hour for that. You can register with the QR code in your bulletin or on the church app. Also this week, we have our men's breakfast, and our very own James McAllister is going to be speaking about what it is to be in Christ, what our identity is in Christ, who we really are when we are his child. And I think that's a revelatory and transformational message. You don't want to miss it, but we need to sign up. James needs to know how much food to make. So if you plan to go, sign up in the QR code or in the app as well. Coming up next week, we have our Women's Connection, Saturday, January 20th from 10 a.m. to 12. You can also register with the QR code in the bulletin or in the church app. And it's going to be at Lene and Carlos's house. Now, right before service, this happens almost every week. Lene will come over and say, I've got to tell you about the latest miracles God has done. And I have to brace myself because these aren't like garden variety miracles. These are like biblical miracles that'll knock your socks off. So I have no idea what she's going to share in that meeting, but whatever it is, ladies, you're going to be on cloud nine and expecting God to do miraculous things. So definitely go if you're able to go 10 a.m. at Lene and Carlos's house. And then, of course, we have a women's Bible study starting on February 7th. We've got two options for that. I'm sorry. February 6th, Tuesday, 10 a.m., or February 7th, Wednesday, 6:30. So you have a Tuesday morning option or a Wednesday, 6:30 option. And we have a little video introducing that for you.
I'm Priscilla Shire, and I wanted to invite you to join me for a 7-session Bible study on discerning the voice of God. Do you know that we have the privilege to hear the voice of God, not to just wait till we get to heaven to actually have connection and relationship with Him, but to experience Him right now? We're going to talk about how to open up our spiritual ears, how to heighten our spiritual senses so that we can detect the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Time spent in God's Word is still the only way to renew your mind. Throughout the course of this Bible study, can I tell you, that is the whisper of the Holy Spirit. If you hear nothing else over the course of these 6 or 7 weeks that we're going to be spending together, would you hear God say to you, come to me? It's our privilege. It's our right. As children adopted into the family of God, why wouldn't we want to take full advantage of that? John chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So I hope you'll join me, and we'll come out on the other side knowing more clearly how to discern the voice of our God.
Excellent. Now, if you'll join Jeff and I in the printed bulletin called John Wesley Covenant Service on the second page, beginning with the opening prayer. When it comes to those bold places, of course, many of us not being used to that, Jeff will lead us as a congregation in the response. So here we go. Almighty God, you search our hearts. You see every part of us. All our desires are known to you, and from you no secrets are hidden. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our hearts so we may perfectly love and glorify your holy name. Now, as God's dearly loved children, let us pray together as the Lord taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll begin with some scripture, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And then in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Let's stand this morning and worship our God and King.